Good morning. I'm David Ellis, and I welcome you to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It is Monday, the 22nd day of February 2021. With me as my technical operator and producer is John Stout. The numbers for you to call, or the main number you call, is 434-1790, 434-1790. And if you want to communicate with us via WhatsApp, then I think many of you are already familiar with that number. That's 266-4862, 266-4862. Well, as you well know, the question of COVID-19 remains perhaps the most dominant topic across the world at the moment. And today we're going to do something a little bit different. We focus a lot on Barbados, almost exclusively, in our look at what has been happening in the region. But I think that it would be useful also to look at the experience of some of our CARICOM neighbors. And today, within the first hour of this program, we're going to reach out to the country of Grenada. Now, let's put in perspective what has happened here. We now have, from what I see, 111.4 million global cases of COVID-19. We've had 2.4 million deaths. But in this region, Jamaica tops the list. Jamaica now is at 21,382 cases. And there are serious expressions of concern about what has been happening in that country. After Jamaica comes Belize, 12,244. You see the vast difference there, 21,000 for Jamaica, 12,000 for Belize. They've had 314 deaths in Belize. Guyana, third in line, 8,420 cases, 189 deaths. The Bahamas, 8,403 cases, 179 deaths. And all of this is what I got from Johns Hopkins University, their site this morning. Then there's Trinidad and Tobago, 7,689 cases, 139 deaths. St. Lucia, you have to watch what is happening in St. Lucia. 3,078 cases and 31 deaths. And then there is Barbados behind St. Lucia, 2,772 cases, 31 deaths. St. Vincent and the Grenadines, 1,503 cases, 3 deaths. Antigua, 598 cases and 13 deaths. And then there is Grenada, 148 cases, 1 death in their population of 112,000. Followed by Dominica, 134 cases, 1 death in a population of 72,000. And St. Kitts, only 41 cases, no deaths. Their population is rounded off at 53,000. So who is joining us this morning from Grenada? As we said, we would have them join us. It's a Barbadian doctor who's lived in Grenada for several years now. And his name is Dr. Bert Brathwaite. We also have with us the Chief Medical Officer of Health from Grenada. He is also with us. He is Dr. Sean Charles. And they are the key people who are going to be speaking with us. Barbadian Bert Brathwaite is chairman of that country's COVID Health Subcommittee, Grenada's COVID Health Subcommittee. So, let me welcome both of you to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Let's hear about the Grenada experience. Who's going to take first shot at that? Or should I say first jab, since we are into vaccines right now?
Morning to you, David. I would like our CMO, Dr. Charis, lead the way.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good morning to listeners.
Yes. Dr. Sean Charis.
Good morning. Good morning to you, and good morning to your listening audience. So, Grenada has, as the rest of the Caribbean, has been dealing with this COVID pandemic since the introduction of our first case, since the identification of our first case on 22nd of March, I believe, we announced our first case. And since then, we have been doing our best to address this issue and to ensure that it does not pose a threat to our population. I must say that since the identification of the first cases, our response have been characterized by their swiftness and we aimed to our measures aimed at, let's say, casting a wide net and then pulling back once we were able to properly define the situation. We have taken early and decisive measures.
Let's be more specific. When you talk about a wide net and early and decisive measures, what exactly are we talking about here?
All right, so when cases are identified, our approach is to lock down all of the individuals involved. So if we have a potential exposure in a particular site or in a family or so, our first approach is to rapidly identify all individuals involved and to quarantine them. Even if there is a mention that someone might have been exposed, the approach is to quarantine that person, get that person out of circulation as quickly as possible. And we aim to do this within 48 hours in most instances. If it is a business, the activity of that business is suspended while we conduct our investigations and so on. And all of this happens very quickly. So the response is a dramatic one.
Now, when is the last time you all had a real scare there? Because I remember not so long ago there was a discussion about sandals. Was that the last major scare?
Yeah, so our last major cluster was related to that hotel.
How long ago was that?
That was around, I believe, 13th and 14th of December 2020.
So what difference did that really make to everything?
Well, we followed the same playbook. When the cluster of cases were identified, the operations were suspended. We quarantined all of the individuals involved, workers, their families. No matter where they are, they were placed under quarantine, and they were tested. And all of this was done in very, very short order. Within 2 days, all of these activities took place. And this went a long way in preventing untoward transmission. All right. So the cases that we identified were basically limited to families. And because we were able to lock down those families quite early, we were able to limit the number of secondary infections that resulted. And that has been the approach throughout this entire pandemic.
What about your quarantine approach at airport, for instance? Because from what we gather, that is crucial in many instances.
Yes, this is crucial. Like other regional countries, we require a PCR test to be taken within 72 hours of travel to Grenada. And now all visitors are quarantined for a period of 7 days, mandatory quarantine. They are tested on the fifth day after arriving in Grenada. And after a negative test, they are released from their mandatory quarantine, and they are expected to remain quarantined for another 7 days or so at the home after release.
Okay, your thoughts, Dr. Brathwaite, on what has worked for Grenada and what are the challenges ahead?
Okay, again, good morning to the listeners. Yes, what has worked is the quarantining and the testing measures at the airport. I think pretty early, Dr. Charles and the team were able to get together the COVID team, which religiously ensures that everyone who comes through any port, basically, because it's seaports as well, we keep a monitor of, and have full quarantine in various apartments and hotels around the country. And they're not released from these areas until the PCR is tested. Now, the point at which we have tested the individuals has varied. And as Dr. Charles has indicated, what is happening at present. But even what has happened at present, there is a review of that process ongoing. And indeed, in fact, the measures may, there may be recommendations for these measures to be changed to reflect the tougher situation, the greater transmissibility of the virus that one is seeing both locally and internationally. And I think that is critical. I think one of the things that happened to Grenada was that in a sense, it was fortuitous that when the Sanders, the outbreak related to Sanders occurred, that it did happen at that time, because it meant that there was a lockdown over the Christmas period and over the New Year period. And that stopped the transmission, any significant transmission at that point. But I also have to give full credit to Dr. Charles and the team for really aggressively, and I know they had many sleepless nights, pursuing that outbreak, because something happened that was different. When we had our first cases in St. Patrick's in the north, I noticed that you might have a household of four or five people and two people became affected. And that happened in a few households. This was back in March last year. But in December, the picture was different, that you were seeing if you had one person infected and going to the household, most of the individuals in the household were becoming affected. So that said to us that the epidemiology was changing, and almost certainly we perhaps had a different strain of the virus, and we now have to be prepared for even more aggressive viruses in terms of transmissibility and potential hospitalizations and unfortunately deaths. So that is the approach that we are taking, and it has to be constantly reviewed. As I said, we were doing that up to this weekend, looking at the process.
The question is, what is life like in Grenada at the moment in these circumstances on the ground, when it comes to things like shopping, when it comes to movement of people, business itself, what is that like?
Well, business at present is pretty much normal. There's a curfew that it goes into force from midnight to, I think it's 4 a.m. And that would just move from 10 p.m. to midnight. So there's been a gradual opening up of night activity. Having said that, we recognize that we are in a particularly vulnerable, dangerous we're moving into that phase where we particularly vulnerable, because at this time people think people have not heard. We had a death a few weeks ago, and they've not heard of any new cases in recent weeks, and the people think that we are out of the woods, and that is dangerous. No country, no island is going to be out of the woods until the pandemic is controlled globally. Because what people sometimes not understand is that we can do all the testing we like at the airport. It will only take, tests are not foolproof, and we might test a person and get a false negative result. And that person, to the best of our knowledge, is clear. They go out in the community and they can spread it. So the challenge now is how to keep individuals from getting back to full normal activity, and especially with respect to crowded activities like parties. Parties are what we are particularly concerned about, but also other gatherings like big funeral services, church services, etc. How to do that and to keep people on focus that this is still a real, real problem. And of course, we are dealing with a community that is naive. We only have had 150, most communities through this region, most people have not been affected by the virus, and therefore we are all going to be susceptible. And hence the vaccine becomes very, very important. And let me say at this point, thanks to the government of Barbados and the government of Dominica for giving us our first few vaccines, first few thousands of vaccines. And but Dr. Charles can tell you how we have been utilizing those with the hope of getting more through the WHO COVAX facility within the next few weeks, hopefully. And that in itself presents another series of challenges.
What are the challenges in that regard?
Dr. Charles?
Yeah.
So are we speaking now about the vaccines or?
What would be the challenges associated with rolling out the vaccines there? Because clearly there are a lot of people in these communities who have deep reservations too.
Right. So we do have the challenge with hesitancy, and with limited acceptance for vaccines, and it's similar to what is playing out across the globe. In that there is a strong misinformation campaign that has been surrounding vaccines for quite some time, and it has intensified with this vaccine that is presently being rolled out for COVID-19. We have many persons doubting the vaccines and actively encouraging others not to accept the vaccine. It's creating confusion in the minds of persons who do not understand and who are they are not very cognizant of the seriousness of this disease, because Grenada has not really had to deal with a major outbreak of this disease. And through the measures that were taken by the Ministry of Health, we have largely shielded the population from all of the horrors that we witnessed happening in other countries. So as a result, many persons are very complacent. And with the added misinformation, many are very hesitant to accept the vaccines. So it's an uphill task, and we are not just speaking of ordinary persons. We are talking about persons from all backgrounds, and even healthcare providers. All right, we are receiving some pushback with regards to the acceptance for the vaccines. So we have a task. We have a task to ensure that we can increase the acceptance and build immunity in our population.
There are people outside of Grenada who are Grenadian, but would have been keen to get back home. Many people are stranded away from home. How have you treated with that particular aspect of the problem?
Well, our ports have been open for quite some time. Now, going back into history a bit, after the initial wave of COVID infections and the implementation of all of the lockdown measures and so on to control the outbreak, and after not having cases for quite a number of weeks, I believe we were up to about 70 days without detecting a case, we decided to open up to tourism around November or so of the year. That offered an opportunity for many individuals who are outside to return to Grenada. All right. But of course, with the increase in air arrivals, with increase in travel, then we experienced that second phase or that second wave of cases. Now, our ports still remain open. We still receive flights from many regions, and persons can still return. But of course, they need to adhere to the entry requirements that we have put in place, which involves the need for 72-hour PCR tests and quarantine upon arrival. So for persons who are still out there, they can still enter because our airports are still open and operational.
Somebody wanted
Dr.
to...
Dr. Charles...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, Dr. Charles, I think we should point out, though, that flights from UK were stopped sometime in early January, just after we became aware of what the mutant strain there was doing. So I think that has been one of the reasons that we have been able to, we have not seen a surge of cases, that flights and individuals coming from UK that process was stopped back in January.
How do you go about trying to find out what variants are present in your own country?
Well, we were utilizing the services that were offered by CARFA to identify variants among CARFA member states. And we did send a limited number of samples for testing, and no variant of concern were identified. I think there's a pause on that program right now, but so far that is the only avenue that we've used to identify different variants that are circulating.
When you say there's a pause on that program, how much more can you say about that?
Well, there was a pause that was announced by CAFA in terms of receiving samples, and we are waiting on word on when that program will resume.
And how long ago has that been paused?
I believe maybe about 3 weeks or so.
What are the implications of that for Grenada?
Well, it's two things. One, if we identify new cases, because it's been just about a month or so, since the 21st of January, I believe, was our last identified case that we had here. It means that if we do get other cases imported, that we will not know what strain that person would be carrying. All right, so that is the immediate implication. All right, now, of course, we would still rely on our public health measures to ensure that if we do import and if we do have another case, that individual doesn't spread the disease to other persons.